from KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up this week, decisions and non-decisions by the North Pacific Fishery Management Council on salmon bycatch in the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea. The Chinook Red Run is going strong and the Kodiak Pink forecast is great. All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Over the weekend in Nome, the North Pacific Fishery Management Council put in place a hard cap on king salmon bycatch for the Gulf of Alaska pollock trawl fleet. Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell proposed a limit of 22,500 kings, but voted yes when the council settled on an even 25,000.
It's a very significant step forward. It's a hard cap that is going to control salmon bycatch in the pollock fishery in the Gulf. And so ultimately, I thought that taking that step forward and getting that cap in place was more important than whether there was a 2,500 fish difference between the cap that I had proposed and the cap that the council settled on.
Julie Bonney of the Groundfish Data Bank, which represents trawlers, was in Nome for the council meeting. She was hoping for a higher hard cap because larger pollock quotas in the future will likely result in more Chinook bycatch.
What we're looking at is a significant increase in pollock quotas, at least through 2012, and possibly out for another 5 years. So as you have more pollock to catch, having a hard cap that doesn't change with the pollock tax was our big concern. So we're thankful that the council was responsive to our concerns and changed it up a bit. So obviously more fish would have been better, but we're happy that we did get some additional fish.
While happy with the fact that there is now a cap on the trawlers, Alaska Marine Conservation Council's Teresa Peterson, who is also in Nome, recognized the size of the cap as a compromise.
That's significantly higher than the historical average, and so we were a little concerned about the increase in the number of Chinook available and the rationale to increase that. But in the end, we're very, very pleased to see this action move forward. It was long overdue to get some restrictions on the level of bycatch in the Gulf.
Bonnie counters that basing a cap on an average would guarantee exceeding it half the time. The action by the council to cap Chinook bycatch was triggered after 51,000 king salmon were caught by the groundfish fleet in 2010. The real tragedy is that fishermen were required to toss the dead Chinook overboard, or if they made it to the dock, the processors would send them to the rendering plant to be turned into fish meal. Under the council's decision, that too has changed. 100% of the king bycatch must now be retained. The Alaska Fisheries Science Center will sample the king salmon and try to determine the rivers they come from. In addition, the processors in the Gulf have agreed to ship the fish to SeaShare, which will distribute it to food banks around the country. The bycatch cap could go into effect a year from now. Another aspect of the council's decision will be to increase observer coverage on the fleet, including placing observers on boats 60 feet and under for the first time. They will be required to have observers on board 30% of the time they're fishing. That rule will go into effect no later than January 1, 2013. Meanwhile, the council voted to delay initial review of chum salmon bycatch reduction alternatives in the Bering Sea pollock fishery. It does not set a date for the review, but the council plans to meet in September and December this year. KNOM's Lorelei Kanin in Nome has more.
This weekend in Nome, the council unanimously passed a resolution brought forward by Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell. The original review included four alternatives to curb chum bycatch in the Bering Sea pollock fishery. Campbell's motion did away with a triggered closure program and created a new alternative, incorporating monthly closure options to the current rolling hotspot program. Campbell pointed out that genetic work shows Western Alaska stocks are caught in greater proportion during the early part of the season.
After that August 1st date, it's a smaller proportion that's Western Alaska bound. So by adding some options that allow the council to look at that, we may have the ability to do something that is more targeted and does more to conserve Western Alaska stocks, and that's an important goal.
The motion also calls for an expanded discussion of Norton Sound salmon fisheries by district. It also asks research staff to describe possible impacts to specific stocks, given the limitation of stock identification information. The council took more than 7 hours of public testimony before hearing the motion. Joe Garney from Tellers said the diminished chum runs are threatening the lifestyles of many.
This salmon sustained a lifestyle for us in the Port Clarence District for thousands and thousands of years, enabled us to have a life there. And before my very eyes, in my generation, in these short last few years, I have seen this lifestyle disappear. We're at the last thread of it.
Anthropologist for Kawerik, the regional nonprofit, Julie Raymond Jacobian, was critical of the council's approach to tribal consultation. She said the limited consultation has affected the process.
I think one of the reasons you're hearing people really put their fist down and say they want a low cap and it's something that's not in the alternatives is because, like I said, they were not involved in the development of that. And if consultation had begun at an earlier date, I know that you'd be hearing different things from tribes today.
Reporting in Nome, I'm Lorelei Kinnean.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Last weekend, pollock trawlers made their first deliveries to Dutch Harbor processing plants. KUCB's Alexandra Gutierrez has more on this year's bee season.
Pollock bee season is currently underway, and as usual, fishermen are hoping that the schools are big and close by. The season opened on Friday, and the allocation has been set at 740,000 metric tons, a 250,000 metric ton boost over last year. Scott Bingen fishes for Unicy aboard the Starlight. He says that members of the fleet were initially surprised by the large increase in the total allowable catch after a few years of poor fishing. But ultimately, a season exceeded expectations, and the fleet is optimistic about this bee season.
I think, you know, the opinion amongst the shoreside fleet was that that was a pretty huge increase in quota. I think there was, you know, a bit of concern that maybe they upped the quota too high too fast. A season turned out to be pretty good, so we're hoping that the science was good and that maybe B season there'll be a lot more fish around as well.
The fleet isn't just hoping that pollock will be plentiful. They're also hoping to avoid taking long trips at great distances, especially with the cost of fuel being high.
As far as the shoreside fleet's concerned, I think we're all hoping this summer we get to fish closer to town like we were able to do during the A season.
Sylvia Edifa is a co-op manager for the Unalaska Fleet Cooperative, which fishes for Alyeska Seafoods. She thinks that's likely, since pollock are once again showing up in the eastern Bering Sea after a five-odd-year dry spell.
We've seen changes in the Bering Sea, returning more towards normal, more feed out on the grounds, more indication of an ecosystem that is making a turn in the cycle. And as a result, we certainly expect better fishing and fish to be distributed a little bit differently than it has been.
Right now, the dockside price for pollock is expected to be around 12 cents a pound. Demand for the fish has declined in part because the Japanese market for surimi was negatively impacted by March's tsunami. Edifa says that vessels are particularly looking to harvest moderately sized fish that weigh just a bit under a kilogram.
If the fish size comes in at a 4 to 6 ounce fillet, then everybody will make a little bit more money than they think they're going to make the preseason on their projections. But if the fish size comes in where fish is very large or smaller in the 600-gram range, then what will end up is that the price of fish will be lower. And, of course, in B season, the price of fish is lower than it is in A season because you don't have so much of a row component to the final price.
Salmon bycatch continues to be a concern for the pollock fleet. Pollock harvesters have previously taken heat over Chinook bycatch, and this A season bycatch was lower, with just over 7,000 Chinook salmon taken. But Edifa says that the focus this summer will be on avoiding chum salmon bycatch, since it's more difficult to predict where chum schools will be located and how big they will be.
We've been very concerned about bycatch from the get-go. And unfortunately, it's really tough to tell when you're catching, you know, when you're catching salmon. We've put a lot of effort in on both behavior changes in where and how we fish and gear modification to allow escapement of king salmon. My fleet specifically has really put more effort into it than any other fleet. And, of course, part of what they have to put up with is that I am a salmon fisherman, so I ride them a little harder than most.
The total allowable catch for the year is set at 1.25 million metric tons, and 40% of that amount was harvested during the A season this spring. And on Alaska, I'm Alexander Gutierrez.
The Kodiak salmon season kicked off last week with an opening day catch of 32,596 fish. Fish and Game salmon management biologist James Jackson in Kodiak says even though the catch numbers look high, it's really only because the last few years haven't been really good.
Well, right now, it just looks like a normal run, to tell you the truth. I think the last 3 or 4 years, we've just had some late week returns to several specific stocks. And this year, we still have some weak stocks, but we're seeing some more fish in places that have been weaker in the past.
The Chignik District on the Alaska Peninsula is well ahead of schedule, and according to Jackson, that's good news for Kodiak fishermen on the south end.
It is really doing good out there. I mean, they're very far ahead of schedule. I think they already have 100,000 fish past the weir. They've been open to commercial fishing since, I think they opened on the 5th. And the one thing that's exciting for a lot of fishermen in Kodiak is we have an allocated fishery. We're allocated a certain percent of the Chignik bound harvest, and that's called the Cape Igvac fishery. And that one typically doesn't, or it hasn't for the past, you know, decade or so. It doesn't open until usually around middle of June.
That opening was last Thursday and lasted 48 hours. The sockeye forecast for the Kodiak area is 2 million fish. Pink salmon always account for the largest runs in Kodiak, and Jackson says this year it will be especially so.
And actually, I think what most people in Kodiak are probably excited about this year has to do with the pink forecast. We have a pretty large pink forecast. The wild stock pink salmon forecast for Kodiak is just over 20 million, which is a lot. And then if you add Katoy into the mix, the local hatchery, they have a, you know, forecast of a little over 7 million. If you add them all together, it's just under 30 million pinks for the total Kodiak area.
Former Fish and Game Commissioner Denby Lloyd reported to jail Wednesday night to serve a 3-day sentence for DWI. The 56-year-old Lloyd pleaded guilty Wednesday morning in Juneau to a charge of driving while intoxicated stemming from a traffic stop last August in Juneau. Police say he had a blood alcohol content of 0.143, an additional charge of reckless endangerment because his wife was a passenger in the truck, was dropped as part of a plea agreement with prosecutors.
I'm pleading guilty, Your Honor.
All right.
Once he's out of jail, he'll be on probation for 18 months.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. On the web at amsea.org. And by
the Pebble Partnership, pursuing jobs and opportunities for Southwest Alaska. Find out more at pebblepartnership.com.
And that's all for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KNOM's Lorelei Kinnean in Nome, KTOO's Matt Miller in Juneau, and KUCB's Alexander Gutierrez in Unalaska. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Jay Barrett.